Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany comes from the prophet Zephaniah. And in the passages we read from chapters 2 and 3, the prophet is speaking about humility. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do his commands. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the Lord's wrath. On that day you shall not be put to shame because of all the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proudly exalted ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in the midst of you a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel, they shall do no wrong and utter no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they will pasture and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians, and Paul is speaking here about how humility works. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. How many of you were wise by human standards? Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolishness in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of our life in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. What is so great about humility? Now, it's fine to talk about pride and haughtiness, but today we're not so sure that we need to hear much about humility. Rising prices cut down the effective buying power of everybody's budget. Going to the food market or buying gasoline or clothes and finding that the cash in your wallet isn't enough, the checkbook needs some extra help again, that the entire credit card bill really can't be paid this month, that can be humiliating. And it's not just personal. There's plenty of humiliation go around. Our intelligence experts haven't been so intelligent lately. Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, big surprise. Our military scientists are finding out that smart bombs aren't all that smart. Diplomats are sent packing with little respect. World opinion and the United Nations and common decency seem to have been humiliated by tanks and troops and terrorists. And none of that's pleasant, this humiliation. heard the scriptures say, seek humility. And there's the difference. Humiliation is something we do to others or have done to us. When someone purposely embarrasses us or shames us before others, that's humility. But humility is something we are to seek and develop and cultivate in ourselves, says the scripture. So just what is humility? Well, humility and humble are from the same root word as humus, meaning on the ground of the earth. That's true in English, it's also true in Hebrew. In Hebrew, the word for man, no surprise, is Adam. And from the same root as the word for man in Hebrew, Adam, we get the word Adamah, which means red dust or earth. We're not only created out of the dust of the earth, we're named from it. Now, modern usage has taken the words humility and humiliation together, meaning a kind of depreciation. But true humility has to do with lowly or humble, or better said, down to earth. That kind of spirit. A spirit free from pride and arrogance. Humility is a kind of courtesy that's born of honesty about oneself and respect for other people. So God is not asking us to humiliate ourselves, to degrade or shame or demean ourselves. He's telling us, seek humility. Seek the truth about life, self, and while you're dust, as the Old Testament lesson said, you're my dust. You belong to me. I created you. We're a lot closer to that thought and understanding than we may realize. If we say about someone, he's a real downer type of person, that's a compliment. We never say that in a derogatory manner. It means he's humble. And it's those regular, down-to-earth kind of people who know what life is about that we like. Think about the gospel lesson today. We read it for the law of God, the Beatitudes. Jesus says, people need to know that they belong to the kingdom of heaven, that when troubles come, they will be comforted. That no matter what, they will get something out of life, and they can find righteousness, and they will obtain mercy, and they will see God and be called to dwell with Him. And for all of this, a humble, honest spirit is needed. It's basic. It's the very opposite of pride, the root sin. The sin that makes us shame other people so we won't have to look at our own shame. That's pride. Now, as humility is that important or vital, why don't we hear more about it? We do need to be convinced of that fact. But you don't hear much about humility workshops. And there aren't any How to Be Humble seminars that I've ever heard. What is it? Well, first off, humility by its very definition and its meaning means down to earth. And we like people like that. We want to be like that, down to earth. That's why whenever you see a politician, he's got his sleeves rolled up, you know, he's a regular guy, and he's eating regular food even if he can't stand it. And so he looks humble, down to earth. It's why talk shows are popular. With people, famous people, interesting people, just talking about their lives, sharing their opinions in such a way that we can begin to understand that they're just regular folks. And a good host, a good interviewer, will draw them out so it can be known that they are just regular folks with regular feelings. Remember Beverly Sills? Famous opera singer. She was also a great parent. She had a real love, not only for her own children, they were disabled. Two of them were deaf and could never hear her voice. She had a real love for all children, and she worked for children's welfare. And so she sounded even better to my ears. Joan, I'm sorry, I don't like opera, but... But I like Beverly Sills because she's a regular person. She was. She's down to earth. She's a good person. That's not a musical opinion. Just a personal one. We all know Carol Burnett. She's pretty down to earth about her own kids, had drug problems. She's done that on national television. She's testified before congressional committees. There's something both great and humble about that kind of down-to-earth honesty. Secondly, a healthy humility allows us to be ourselves without any kind of pretense. Imagine going to your family doctor and upon being asked why you're there, saying, "Well, doc, it's not so nice. I don't want to talk about it." That's a waste of the doctor's time. It doesn't let him be who he's supposed to be, a physician, simply because we don't want to speak about whatever is bothering us. It's a strange kind of pride that wastes time on false fronts. Another way to illustrate this is think about your close friends. They're people with whom we don't waste time pretending. They know us, we know them, we're honest enough to expose our down-to-earth real selves to them because we know those folks. And we both need and trust their reactions. You have to be humble to do that. Is that it? Not quite. We know, we see, we understand the obvious benefits of humility with our friends and our neighbors, and even those who, because of their fame or position, influence our lives. As that's true, it certainly ought to be true in our relationship to God, and big surprise, it is true. Remember, we're not talking about humiliation. God is not out to put us down. His business is lifting us up. And for him to do that, he says to us, be honest with me. Be humble. Be down to earth. For all the same reasons we talked about. It's with humility that we admit our needs to God. It's not humiliating to pray our prayer of confession. It's smart. It's recognizing God's diagnosis of our condition. And it's the only way we're going to get to the words of assurance and hear them with the joy they're supposed to create. It's the only way the law of God can become help and encouragement. Humiliated people are too angry to ask for forgiveness, but humble people can hardly wait. And it's with humility that we can be used by God. That's what that epistle lesson is all about. Consider your call, said Paul. Were you wise, powerful, or noble as the world judges? No. Consider Jesus. Was he looked at as great by the wise, powerful, and noble of his time? No. Yet Paul goes on. He is the source of our life. Whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Therefore, it is written, let anyone who boasts boast in the Lord. Wise words. And you and I can boast that way. God loves us, not for what we do, not for what we think, but rather because of His. Because His action in Jesus Christ is for us, because we are loved by God. That isn't humiliating, but it is humbling. Just think about the world today. Think about the difference between Billy Graham and Kim Il-sung, the dictator of North Korea. Billy Graham boasts in the Lord, always. Kim Il-sung boasts in his personal power, his actions. Closer to home, let's look at our own experience. We all know those people who are truly righteous, and we all know people who are bullies. The difference is humility. Even closer, and this is where it gets uncomfortable, we all know there are times when humility prevents humiliation. Ours. When we're tempted to act like a bully, but we don't. We save ourselves and others from ourselves. There's an old hymn about that. I tried to find it, wasn't in our hymnal. And then I found it, and it was a tune I didn't know. But the words go like this. Oh, where are kings and empires now of old that went and came? My Lord, the church is praying yet, 1,000 years the same. Thinking about those things, we all know what's so great about humility. Amen. Let us pray. Remind us gently, O Lord, of the privilege we have to both read and hear your word. Grant us both the wisdom and the grace to listen carefully and respond faithfully. We ask this for Jesus' sake and ours.